They're so naughty and so complex.
Listen, I'm in big trouble. You know anything about computers?
We share our wisdom with those who seek it.
I reckon you know a lot about cyberspace.
MajorGeeks.com presents the Technology Geeks. The geeks are here to take your call.
Call 421-9325 now and ask them your computer and technology questions.
The Technology Geeks are brought to you by
MajorGeeks.com.
MajorGeeks.com is your best place to get tested, virus-free shareware tools for your computer. If your computer needs a fix, go to bootcamp at MajorGeeks.com. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. Power your company with the most recognized name in energy. New York Energy and Con Edison Solutions. The switch is on. USA DataNet. Offering a variety of phone and internet services. Find out more at usadatanet.com. Content Watch. Internet filtering, spam, and pop-up blocking for home and business. Try it out at contentwatch.com. Now, here they are.
I'm a geek.
Basically, he was a geek.
Leave me alone, geek boy.
The Technology Geeks.
Push a button, Gus. Thanks, Gus. Hey, everybody. I'm your host for Technology News and Information, Questions and Answers. Mike Rail with me, Tim Tibbetts, Jim McMahon, on this cold and rainy Saturday morning. You know, Al Gore's got that global warming movie out now, doesn't he? It's out there now. Yeah, and there's only one, I haven't seen it, but there's one thing I'm pretty sure about. It wasn't filmed in Syracuse. I'm about 100% sure of that. In fact, if it was filmed at Syracuse, they'd rename the movie "We're Ready for Global Warming."
Yeah, global cooling, they'd be all confused and going in the other direction.
I always wanted to start a political party for global warming.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd get the entire above the 39th parallel vote.
Yeah, we want to. We're ready.
You know, you go to the polls with an aerosol can in your hand. That's sort of thing.
Hey, 421-9325, if you want to become part of the conversation. Today we're going to interview Will Smith. He's on every month. He's going to talk about the July issue of Maximum PC Magazine. It is the do-it-yourself guide, and we are talking about computers. So it's how to fix your RAM, how to build your own PC, everything, right?
Yeah, there's some.
Who read it? Anybody? Anybody prepared?
There's some stuff there I never thought about before, improving your Wi-Fi in your laptop.
Oh, really? How do you do that?
I don't know. I never really thought much.
Oh, we're going to have to ask him. Yeah. We've got our Geek of the Week software pick, some emails to go over, an email in particular, website of the week, announcements, and, of course, your calls at 421-9325, 421-WFBL. Wow, such a big show. It's on three pages, the script is today. We start
in font.
That's exactly what it is. And as always, we start today with the show with the news.
There you go. You want to help improve Windows Vista? It's out there for public download this week. I don't know if you notice that seems to be all the rage everybody's talking about this week.
Oh, you can get Vista.
Yep, you're going to need about around 3.1, 3.2 gig download. So it could take you a little while to download. You want to make sure that if you're going to play with it, I've installed it from Windows, and it'll actually set up a dual boot with Vista being the primary. It's not that hard to do if you don't know how to do it. You just need a CD writing program, and usually in a backup area. A lot of people are getting this ISO, and they're going, what do I do with an ISO?
So you can get Vista for free. You don't have to buy it, huh?
Well, I'm sure it times out. My guess would be. I thought this
is kind of like the drug dealers. They give you a few free samples, get you hooked, and then
Microsoft's been doing this for years. Well, and, give you a little free, systems. Give you a little free, give you a little free, then take it away, and now you're hooked.
But I ran it a little bit. It's okay. I think they released it a little bit early for public. But this is not something you want to play with in any kind of production environment or your main machine. You don't want to overwrite your Windows with it because it's going to eventually time out. It is beta code. They're looking for feedback, and they're looking for people to know how to dual boot. But if you don't know what you're doing, most CD writing programs have a backup burn image. So if you have an ISO, you want to burn an image, put the DVD in. And that's how you go about burning the CD. You'll need to go to the link will be on the technologygeeks.com in just a few minutes, and you'll have to sign up. They'll send you a serial number that you can use and all that stuff.
The other thing, you could install it into something like Microsoft Virtual Machine, and then it,
true.
You know,
good point.
Doesn't mess with anything.
There you go.
Next story.
Microsoft's anti-piracy tool phones home daily. You know this tool. It's called Windows Genuine Advantage Notification.
Oh, yes.
Yes, that's a great tool. Yeah, designed to validate whether a copy of Windows has been designed to make sure it was legitimately acquired. That's its main job. Now, I thought it was a one-time thing. It checks it once, but they're saying now that it's actually calling in. Microsoft is saying, well, it's nothing major. It's just checking to make sure you're up to date.
And they have expanded this now to just about every significantly expensive program that they have. And I personally run into this problem. I tried to upgrade my Microsoft Office to Service Pack 2, and chokes.
Yeah.
So I had to put this list patch in where, you know, it reevaluates your license file and everything. Mm-hmm. Still choked.
That happened to me this week.
It's very, very annoying. Those people at Microsoft, if you're going to tighten down the licensing screws, that's fine. But make sure it works, because you're going to have customers revolting.
Well, the big problem, as you said, is when you get to the point where you're annoying legitimate users. I have run the tool. It has done. Now, what they're saying is that this tool has to go and dial in to make sure it's been run, basically.
And no personal information is being transferred to Microsoft.
Oh, here, let me give it to you. No meaningful data is exchanged during the check-in with Microsoft.
Just your social security number, date of birth,
bank account
information, nothing.
Well, they're saying it doesn't receive a user's IP. It does receive the user's IP and a timestamp. But my thing with this is it's already checked my computer. Log it, and there's no reason for it. But they're saying this thing is going in every day and logging in.
Oh, and reevaluating it.
Right. I mean, it checked it. It set up a log file, says, we've already checked, it's valid. Now I should be done.
Yeah.
Leave me alone. You bought a valid license. Maybe you stole something today.
Right.
Yeah.
What the heck?
Well, if you live in Washington, it's now a felony to play poker on the Internet.
Washington State?
Apparently. That's what it says.
Oh, my gosh.
So
you won't be going there anytime
soon. Apparently, Washington has solved all the other problems.
Yeah.
So congratulations to Washington on solving, you know, hunger, crime. Good job. Well, basically what they're saying with this is actually this is almost the same in just about every state because you're gambling. But what they're doing is they're claiming that this is just a clarification on an existing law already. Now, end game is, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, they haven't figured out a way to tax it yet, so now it's illegal. That's pretty much
Dude,
it.
That was running through my head this morning. Yeah.
What they're doing is they're using the old wire fraud laws that they used to put away some organized crime guys.
Yeah, so you can't go down the street to the Indian casino. Actually, I performed at there's an Indian casino in Washington. I've been there a few times doing shows, and apparently their sales must have gone down a little bit. So they went to the state, hey, come on, help us out.
But the deal is that law only applies to games of chance, and poker itself is determined by several states not to be a game of chance.
Right. Yeah, so your chances of you winning are zero.
Zero.
So, yeah.
If you're playing me.
Yeah.
You know, pretty good if you're playing Timmy. You know, but, and that's beside the point, but, you know, like dice games and stuff like that, you can't do.
Yeah, poker, you're playing against each other. Mm-hmm. You're not really playing against the house.
I was picturing the conversation that must go on in politics with us, where somebody's trying to explain, but the guy's saying, so what you're telling me is the server's overseas where we can't touch them, right? And they're sending the money to them through a third-party offshore company off their account, which we can't touch, right?
Right.
So what do we do? Well, we'll just make it illegal, and we'll just keep looking for a loophole, and sooner or later we'll get them. I can't imagine what the conversation is.
Yeah.
You know?
Can we tax it? No. Then it's illegal.
Illegal.
In the ever-increasing battle against Internet piracy, the RIAA...
Recording Industry Association of America.
They are always looking for new ways to prevent people from listening to music without authorization. The newest way to share music illegally online, according to the RIAA, is via music videos from YouTube and Google Video.
What? Ooh?
I know, I don't even know if I need to go on beyond this just to tell you that you're talking about a couple of really deep pockets. YouTube has gotten huge.
You'd
have to assume they're making decent money. They just became almost a household name. Mm. Google Video goes without saying, it's attached to Google, so it sounds to me like a move for some money. Now, I've looked at both of these sites, and I've watched tons of movies. I guess I never bothered to search them to see if they actually had anything like that on there. I just never considered it. I figured Google would block that type of stuff. They're usually real good about it.
I am watching a video last night. The producers actually was very funny. The DVD. And before the DVD, the first thing that comes on, you know how you get the previews and stuff, and then you get the FBI warning and all of that. Mm-hmm. Well, when you at the very beginning of the video, it's something you can't fast forward past. You get the little circle with the bar through it, and it's this commercial about, you wouldn't steal a car, would you? And, you know, they show a guy stealing a car, and then you see then why steal music and movies? And you see people download music, because you can't get caught. Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't steal a car because I'm going to get caught.
Yeah. Well, leave the keys in there.
Right now,
steal it. I have a problem with people stealing this stuff and then just giving it away. I do have a problem with that, but I have an awful problem with the DMR that they have out there today, because by law, if you buy something, you're allowed to make a copy of it. You know, if I buy a book, I can copy the page. If I buy a video and I want to make a backup of that video, by law, I can do that, except they have this little thing in front that I can't reverse engineer, so if I reverse engineer it, I'm breaking their copyright law on that, so I can never back up my video. And that is, in and of itself, I think, illegal. And,
yeah,
and
the fair use drives me crazy
because it's insane.
If I have a lot of people that, you know, they use, iTunes.
iTunes.
Oh, yeah. Wow, there was a senior moment. Anyway, you're trying to download iTunes. They download the iTunes. They pay 99 cents for their song. Then they want to burn it to a CD. Oh, no, can't do that.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't? I own the song. Okay, we got enough time. Oh, we're out of time.
All right, good.
I'm done doing we're actually off the air right now. Excellent.
Hey, when we come back, a lot more show. We don't know what yet, and we'll be right back. 421-9325-421-WFBL is the number to call if you want to become part of the show. A little bit later, we'll have Will Smith on, and coming up, more funny stuff. So hopefully, okay.
No. Gus just made it funny.
Gus, go ahead.
We'll have more of your calls in a moment after we defrag the phone system. It's the Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Has spyware got your computer running slower than a herd of turtles stampeding through peanut butter? Does your computer have so many viruses that you need a tetanus shot just to touch it? Is working on your computer so frustrating that you call the suicide hotline every time you check your email? Cheer up, because it's Rent-A-Nerd to the rescue! Rent-A-Nerd can fix any computer problem for just $89. For just $89, less than cost of parts, they'll come to your home or office and eliminate your computer problems. Don't despair. Call Rent-A-Nerd 454-5611. That's 454-5611 Rent-A-Nerd.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to contentwatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
Oh, look at that computer.
That's the way you want. You don't want to hear me sing. I'm Mike Rayo, your host for this hour of technology, the Technology Geeks. 421-9325-421-WFBL. To my immediate left is Tim, who's not here, and Jim, who is to his right. No, to his left, too.
I'd be to his left, yes.
Yeah, and we got people in the studio. We got Gus here, who was up all night because he was the overnight guy, huh? You were doing the Mets game, and the Mets won, by the way. This is your home for Mets baseball. Very excited about that as a lifelong Mets fan. But Gus being sleepy, the buttons aren't working too good. We got some questions. Actually, we got accosted in the hall on the way out there. The financial guys were there, and what was their question? They had a Trojan.
Norton's went off and just told him that he had a Trojan, so he Googled some links and said it removed it. So it's kind of scary because, you know, as we said before, one thing you don't want to do is just, although Google tends to be pretty safe. You still don't want to just blindly type something in and just follow links when you don't know where you're going. That's why sites like Major Geeks exist.
Yeah.
This stuff is tested. You're a lot safer. And, again, Google is pretty safe. But so I basically told him just hit our, the antivirus section, hit popularity. You can see people are downloading. And grab one of the Trojan removers and give his machine a final scan because supposedly it's removed, but just make sure with an independent third-party program.
Yeah, but I hate to bash Norton, but, you know, Norton seems to do a lot of things outside their software, and I don't get it. You know, a lot of the free ones, AVG, for example, very rare. They can remove everything. They put it in their tool. You download it right through the normal software, and it just happens. And it seems like Norton McAfee used to be the same way, too. You'd have to get a separate removal tool for a lot of different viruses, and I just think that they, I would expect it to be much more rare today that things would work more automatically than they did in the early days, but I guess it doesn't. I don't know.
And I suppose that a lot of the viruses that come out are very specific in what they do and very specific in how you remove them. And, it could be a meg or two meg file to download to go and get that specific virus. So for that one virus, do you want to keep bloating and bloating and bloating out your software? So they probably, for some of the lesser, the ones they don't think will have legs, release specific tools to go get rid of them.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Hey, we got another email this week. Let me run this by you guys. Do you have a simple solution for how I can incorporate photos onto my email without making them an attachment? I use Yahoo DSL as my home page along with my own email program. That's the question. I really enjoy your informal format. I guess we're informal.
I'm wearing a tie.
Yeah. And listen to all the archive shows that were downloaded onto a CD. So they're illegally copying our music. We'll have the RPAA over to your house pretty soon. That way I can listen to them at my own leisure while my wife is tying up the PC. So I don't know if he's going to catch this live, but...
you are in trouble on so many levels, my friend.
Simple photo attachments. I think some people make the big mistake... they want to embed it into their email. You have to have HTML, though, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I really hate that, though. It's annoying. It adds long, long, cryptic, weird names to the name of it, whereas you can usually just right-click on the little paperclip and say Save Attachments and save them all with the name that they were sent out, which typically is a little shorter.
If you are using HTML mail, which Outlook does, Outlook Express, you can just simply copy and then paste, right-click copy on the file, and then right-click paste inside the email, and it'll embed the picture
into like a web HTML ML email is a web page.
Right.
So you make nice, pretty emails, which annoy other people when they try to reply to them, because then it's like double-spaced when they're trying to type. Yeah. It's very annoying.
But that's the only way I know how to do it, unless you're using one of those funsy email programs.
Right. But again, the reader, if you're sending an email, it's meant to be sent, so the person at the other end has to be able to read it. So HTML is typically the fastest way, the easiest way to do it. A couple things to watch out for. You don't want to just copy and paste a picture in. You need to downsize it for the web.
Yeah.
And XP has that capability now, doesn't it? If you click on a picture, doesn't it say size for web or what kind of tool?
Yeah, built right in the viewer when you open it up for those who use it.
Yeah.
Which will kind of shrink it down from the 5 or 50 megapixel new camera stuff to something that's manageable for sending back and forth.
Exactly, because otherwise, what's going to happen is the person's going to open the email and says, hey, it's a picture of your new grandchild. And you're like, ooh, I'm so excited. And they have like an 8 megapixel camera, and they just pasted it into the email. So you open up the email, and you see like one hair on their eyebrow. And you need to downsize it to web size. 640x480.
Estimated
like
time,
that.
57 days, 3 hours, and 6
minutes. Then they're
minutes.
On dial-up.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I was downloading Vista through the browser, and it said, I think it was minus 29 hours. And it's because it was 3.5 gigs, so Internet Explorer couldn't figure out
how long it would
take. So the 3.5 gig file, 3.2 gig file, actually showed it 100% through the whole download, but it kept saying something like minus 29%.
Minus 29 hours. Sounds like an H.G. Wells movie. Hey, look, grab the laptop. We're going back in time. Here we go.
Now, as for his other problem, he's got a couple solutions. I mean, you can get another machine, which is really, some of the stuff like those e-machines, which, he plays Call of Duty 2 on it, my son does, so it's not a $400 machine.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a box with the NVIDIA board on it. NVIDIA graphics card built in, their sound processor built in. So most of it's built onto the board, but also has all the memory stick readers in the front. It's got DVD writers, and it's a small tower. It's not these monster oversized towers these guys keep building nowadays.
$400?
$400. And he's playing the newest games on it.
20 ping. Wow.
He's pinging 20 on it on the servers. It's unbelievable.
For those of you who can't see the studio, Tim's son is in here.
But now,
he keeps going, and people are going, what's he talking about?
Punk in the corner.
Yeah.
But he could go out and pick one of those up and give it to his wife for his birthday. I know your computer is running slow, honey. Here's a nice new shiny computer for you. She'll be all impressed. And then take the other one and put it in the other
room. Then you can listen to our show live.
Live.
Which would be better. So the bottom line, HTML email, paste it in there, but size it down using your favorite photo viewer, make a copy of it. Don't take the original and size it down, because then you lose the nice picture, but size it down for web size, and then you can embed it in your email and send all those funny jokes like all of us get via email. Now, if the person you're sending to doesn't have HTML capability in their email, they're going to see it as an attachment anyway,
right,
with this long, strange name on it, right?
No, it's the other way around, actually. When you embed it, it comes out with a real long name.
Right, but then it will automatically attach.
Yeah.
When it's not an HTML person receiving
right.
it, what does it come with a goofy name or
no?
That's where you write name.
Yeah, that's where you write. That's where you click on the paperclip icon, save attachments, or you can open them individually.
Yeah.
Okay. 421-9325-421 WFPL is the number to call. Let's see here. We got our. Well, we might as well stick with help, right? Because that's what we're here for. So, what's our Geek of the Week software pick?
Oh,
we need a theme song for that, by the way, Gus. So you're going to have to stay here all night tonight.
How about
too.
Something like that Pigs in Spacing from the Muppets?
Pigs in Spacing.
Yeah, that's
Geek of the Week.
That would work.
Yeah, you know, something like that.
No.
That's the email I get from Tim. The
should do an Irish jig type of thing for him.
Oh, yes, that would be lovely.
The coolest program that I've seen come out this week, well, at least the coolest name, is at MajorGeeks.com in the networking section called The Dude. It's in beta, which means it's sort of a pre-release testing, so there might be some bugs in it. I've been using it for about a week, no problems. But it's basically a network discovery tool. And we had discussed this a couple of weeks ago regarding...
Uh-oh, there's an inside joke
here
somewhere.
Inside joke. Tim's been pointing out to me all week long that I say an awful lot.
And he just double ud.
And
yeah,
I thought,
is your way through.
And
the
I
show.
Just looked over at him and double ud. And, you know, but in any event.
We all do it.
It's a network discovery tool. So basically you install this program and you tell it what IP range to scan. And it will go out there and find all the machines on that IP subaddress.
We are now telling everybody listening how to find all the open shares in the neighborhood.
I didn't go there.
All you need is Wi-Fi access. You can hop on everybody.
Yeah, I didn't go there. But this is for your. You can use this for your internal subnet. So, for example at home, I have multiple machines that are on a wireless network, including printers and machines and laptops and all sorts of different devices that are Wi-Fi throughout my house. This can go out, scan that subnet, find them, find everything that's on those machines, and give me a network map with wireless clouds. It's insane software for any network administrator out there if you're managing...
Or hacker.
Yes, exactly. Well, I thought those two terms were synonymous.
Yeah.
But if you're managing 15, 20 machines, you don't know the softwares on them, you don't know where they are or anything like that, this goes out, scans it, creates the network map for you with the pretty pictures and wireless clouds and all that and the lines and everything. It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful piece of software. And it's
can't
free.
Beat the price.
Yeah, it's
see.
Free.
What I did was when I've had network scanning software, I'm going to try this out because... always looking for a new one. I scanned all of, you know, I figured out what my IP was from Roadrunner, and then I figured, you know, what my neighbors would be, or they would be on the same subnet as me because they're on the same what's called head-end modem for those playing along at home. And I scanned my neighborhood to find everybody who didn't have their computers properly secured so I could tell them to secure their computers.
And that would be all of them?
And I did that by putting something on their desktop. So when they went into their computer, it says, "Your computer is unsecured. Call my grandma right now."
Oh, my
I
did that.
And then they reenacted the mob scene from Frankenstein in front of my house with the torches.
But yeah, you could theoretically you could use this to figure out what the subnet is in your neighborhood and then map out all the locations. Very cool. It's very slick, very well done, works very quickly. You know, more tools in it than I've seen in similar programs that are $200 and $300.
Well, you know, here's another thing. Just even if you're just going to scan your own computer, with these network scanners, even though they're really not designed for this, one of the good byproducts I think they have is they let you see where the vulnerabilities are in your own computer because it's going to list everything on your machine, and then if you click on those things, it will actually go into them if it can. Right. And if it can through that software, that means people from the outside probably can too, and that's not a good thing.
And that's why they're security tools and not hacking tools, Mike.
Right, yes. Well.
But again, it's called the Dude. The Dude.
The Dude.
And it's in the networking section of Major
League. I would assume it originated in California.
Absolutely.
Probably, dude.
421-9325. Cowabunga. 421-WFPL is the number to call. When we come back, we were going to have Will Smith from Maximum PC Magazine. He's going to preview the July issue, which is the big do-it-yourself guide. We're going to learn all about how to water cool your PC.
No.
Oh, I think I did that wrong. you're not supposed to, it doesn't involve a bathtub or anything.
No.
No, okay.
I've never liked the idea of mixing water with electricity. I just can't get over that.
You can do that with
that electricity
like
stuff can be dangerous.
I just can't get over it.
You can do that with mineral oil.
Yes. Extend the Wi-Fi range of your router.
You just double it.
Mod your DVD drive, and they got a Dremel Moto tool here, so I'm automatically excluded from that. Build an air filter, things like how to connect your high-definition TV to your PC the easy way. Upgrade your notebook, something I need to do. So don't go away. We will be wait back. Your Waskety Wabbit. Wow. There's a little rented lips. We'll be right back with Will Smith right here on MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
The Technology Geeks want to remind you that if you're having trouble tuning in the program, try restarting your radio. More with the Technology Geeks is coming up on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone. To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the computer outlet. The computer outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The computer outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The computer outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The Computer Outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the Computer Outlet today.
Okay, maggots, this is your Major Geek, and I'm here to explain to you sorry excuses for computer users how to get great tools to improve your computer's performance for free. Go to my boot camp at MajorGeeks.com. If you need virus protection or you want to get rid of those spies stealing information from your computer, get it from the Geek. MajorGeek.com gives you great software to try for free. Now, I know in the past you've been soft going to them computer stores, shelling out your hard-earned dough for those pretty software boxes you see, only to find what's on the outside is not what's on the inside. Those days are over. At my site, MajorGeeks.com, you get safe, tested, geek-reviewed software from hundreds of software publishers, and you get to try it before you buy it. Now listen here, maggots. If you don't want to be a book private all your life, I order you to get to MajorGeeks.com. Spell it for me, soldier.
MajorGeeks.com.
I can't hear you.
Well, I bought it up from Windows Home and tried to boot it up. But when I load it up, it says my memory is not enough.
We are back. Are the mics on? The mics are on. We're back with the second half of MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks, Talk Radio 1390 WFBL. Joining us on the line today, you're covering up the magazine. Don't ever do that. The editor is on the line here. We can't cover up the product here.
The viewers at home must be able to see
it. Oh, that's right. We're on the radio. I forget. with us is Will Smith, editor of Maximum PC Magazine, and previewing the July big do-it-yourself guide. Hi, Will.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Now, Jim read this, but my first question is, there's some kind of like household tools you need, like the Dremel Moto tool I see here and an X-Acto knife.
It's one of those things that the do-it-yourself guide is just a bunch of, it's kind of like the catch-all for all the kind of little how-tos that are too small to make a full how-to out of or put in a normal feature. So we kind of just round up and do like 15 or 20 of them every year. I mean, for the most part, they require no tools, you know, beyond a screwdriver or a pair of scissors. But
I don't know. I'm down to like 8 fingers now, so I got to be on that. I have all 10 fingers.
Sharp objects have been removed from.
Yeah, I have all 11 fingers.
In that case, you should avoid any that involve blades or cutting implements.
Exactly. Right. Well, the thing that I was most interested in is extending your Wi-Fi range, both on your router and your laptop. Now, how do you do that?
There's really two ways. We get into one of the easier ways in this story. We're actually going to revisit it because we've gotten a lot of questions. But the easiest way is to replace the antenna on your router with a higher gain antenna. And we show people how to do that. It's really easy. It's a little pricey, but you get a pretty improved coverage bubble from swapping the antenna out.
It actually works because I remember one time I bought, I'll skip the brand name, but it was actually a unit that's stacked on top of your router and was supposed to give you better gains. It did nothing for me. And it was almost the price of. It looked just like the router.
Right. This one we tested in a couple of different environments, both kind of a suburban setting in the Bay Area and an urban. Actually, my apartment. So. urban area with a lot of Wi-Fi. So.
You never want to be stuck without internet again. I remember when you were.
I do not ever want to. Right. Yeah. That's bad. So. We saw a pretty substantial range increase, and it filled in kind of the gaps in coverage that we experienced with non-MIMO 802.11g and b products.
Let me jump into the future a bit. I saw you guys started talking about the Conroe chip that's coming from Intel.
Yes.
And
yes.
If I understand correctly, that people can talk about it and bench them now. If I'm reading right, and correct me if I'm wrong, these guys are saying that this chipset at a lower clock speed than their fastest chip will be available. Is spanking AMD's fastest chip?
Grain of salt time.
Right.
the benchmark numbers that are out now are, for the most part, run on machines that Intel has built for the people who are running the benchmarks. So we don't run benchmarks and report benchmarks on systems that we don't build ourselves in the lab that are, you know, in pretty clean conditions. But yeah, but that's what I mean. I think Anand actually was handed some hardware at Computex in Taiwan and went back to his hotel room and built a machine and ran benchmarks.
That might have been where I read it.
Right, I actually trust that one, and he's seeing phenomenal benchmark numbers from Core 2 Duo is what the official name is, but it's Conroe.
He's basically saying this isn't the fastest chip they're going to make, but it's still spanking AMD's fastest chip on the market now.
That's impressive.
Yeah, I mean, their kind of mid-range, non-extreme part is spanking FX62.
Well,
which is awesome. I mean, that's a really impressive feat.
And why you at home cares because this is going to be huge for the processor market. They haven't really made any gigantic strides in a while, and I want to see AMD and Intel just swinging at each other and getting mad. And this is where we're heading. If they're going to actually put out a chip that's going to spank AMD, who's really had the fastest chip out there.
For a while.
I mean, for two years almost, I think we've been recommending Athlon 64s.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's nice to have some competition back in the CPU market.
It's going to make this fall very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, and the pricing for the CPUs, we're already starting to see huge price drops for current gen hardware.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be brutal brutal for AMD and Intel, great for people who are buying CPUs.
Oh, just think of the machines you can buy come towards this Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, you'll be able to buy an unbelievable machine, even August, September.
Right.
Wow, that's terrific. Now on the upgrades, I'm still back to the wireless because my goal here is to hopefully. Now, I mean, when you say pricey on the router, just to cover that up, what are we talking about price range here?
Really, whether you use the larger, the more powerful antenna, or get what's called a repeater that just kind of adds another wireless node, another wireless coverage bubble. It's probably a little bit smaller, but your network. You're looking at about $100 either way.
So, oh, see, that's not bad, because what I was thinking is giving that to my next door neighbors as a gift.
Yeah,
you know, because I know they're having some coverage problems. And I think you know, that maybe would help. Now, if they don't go for that, if they right, if they don't accept my generous $100 gift
to extend the range to your house,
oh wow, yeah. That's just a collateral benefit. That's that's not my intention at all.
It's all from the heart.
Now I can also increase the range on my laptop. Like, I have an internal wireless card in my laptop. How would I increase the range of my laptop?
It's a little trickier for the internal wireless card than the laptop. You know, since those antennas are built into the frame, really all you can do is kind of dig into the cards, the drivers, the firmware, and up the power, which is going to have a pretty substantial impact on your battery life usually. So,
but I'd never even considered it, so...
Yeah, I mean, you can buy external antennas for those.
Oh, really?
You know, Cantenna style.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not, I mean, it's one of those things that it's...
You need a Dremel.
And then you have
it?
A giant external antenna and probably have to leave something open on your laptop all the time, so...
I could even put a PIMCA card in there and then and modify that or increase the range with that, or...
Right, now that is something, that's something that you can do. There are... we don't actually get into it, but there's a pretty large list of external PCMCIA cards that are hackable that you can add a new external antenna to. And I mean, it's one of the things, if you increase your router's coverage area, then you'll get better coverage with your laptop without having to do anything.
Right.
If you want to do something in an area you don't have control over the router, then probably even easier to just, you know, sneak into the neighbor's house and, you know, run some Ethernet.
Well, I live next to a Starbucks, so that's really where I'm going here.
No, I don't.
I also noticed you guys decided to benchmark Macintosh against XP.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's the first time ever we've been able to do apples to apples benchmarks.
Apple to apple.
Apples
to
apples.
He's a comedian.
We'll be here all week. No, I mean, it's really, anytime you've done benchmarks before, it's been a little weird because you're running, you know, two different CPU architectures and two different core logic chipsets, and there's just too many variables to get more than kind of a general gist of what's going on. So, and it's still not 100% fair because a lot of the main Adobe applications are running emulated now. Like, for example, everything that Adobe does is still written for the G5. It's not what's called a universal binary, which has both, you know, x86 and PowerPC architecture code inside it.
Cool.
So it's running emulated.
Did you do all your tests on a Mac then, or no?
Yes, we did. So what we did was we installed Windows XP on an iMac, which is about the same hardware as their MacBook Pro.
Right.
Ran tests that are multi-platform, like Bibble, which is a photo, raw, it converts photos from raw to JPEG, and several other things. Noise Ninja, I think, was one of them. and what we found is that even on the universal binaries, then there are still some things that are being emulated for the most part in most of the apps that we tested that were universal.
Right.
So, as a general rule, we saw better performance on the iMac running Windows XP than we did running OS X.
Kind of figured that.
Yeah, I mean, it's still real early for the OS X on Intel. I mean, it's top shot, really.
But you could never do this before because you'd have to build a machine to go side by side, and then anybody could easily say you have a better motherboard or something.
What we're saying is that the iMac runs Windows better than it runs its own operating system.
That is the case. Yeah.
And as Will would said before. A grain of salt, correct?
What a dumb thing to do.
That just doesn't make any sense.
Because there are some things that are faster on the Mac.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen a lot of kind of Mac fever lately with people really cranked up about the new Intel Macs.
That's cool.
Things that are silly, like, you know, Photoshop runs faster in Parallels than it does on any Windows machine. So we just wanted to do some kind of myth-busting.
Cool. So you don't get your testers from, like, the local psychiatric ward, apparently.
Right, yeah. We just grab a guy off the street that, you know, says he'll work for food and drive him in a lab, so...
One thing I picked up from this issue was a nice upgrade to a trick I've been using for a long time, but I've always used Bounty filters.
Ah.
Yeah. You guys upgraded to Swiffer filters.
Yeah, so those Swiffers, I mean, I don't know if you use them, but they're like dust magnets.
Absolutely, that's genius.
Where do you
do a phenomenal job. So you just take a Swiffer, cut it to fit. You might have to thin them out. Sometimes they come in multiple layers and are a little too thick. Mm. You really want to have like one, maybe two layers of the Swiffer super fabric or whatever it is. Cut it to fit the area over your filter, tape it over the filter, put it in your filter holder, whatever you have to do. And it keeps the inside of your case from getting all dusty.
Do I spray that nice? I got the one that sprays too. Do I spray it first? So
no,
it smells nice?
Yeah, no.
I mean, you can if you want to get the jet.
Take it off
so it just blasts directly into the computer. It'll probably keep things cool.
That'd be nice.
Be like an air freshener.
Take
it off the mop.
Don't do that.
All right. Be sure to take it off the mop first.
Smelled like a good idea.
Right.
Okay, and then the issue is on newsstands when? Now?
It is on newsstands right even as we speak.
Yeah,
so it's probably the next 2.5-3 weeks.
Unless
okay,
you're a subscriber. I think I got mine last Saturday. I think it came in the mail right after the show, actually.
Well, we get them early, so we can be prepared.
Oh, no, I've got a regular subscription.
Oh, well, see that? He's
nobody,
paid subscriber.
I'm nobody to them.
You guys are pretty near our press, so you're going to get them a little earlier than a lot of
okay.
Country, so.
All right, well, hey, thanks. We'll see you next month. What's coming out in August? Can you give us just a quick taste?
So the August issue is our video card showdown. So we go through and look at every available video card, preview of the new NVIDIA SLI on a single card, the 7950 GX2, which is actually a really compelling piece of hardware if you're in that high-end, hyper-expensive video card market.
They're all gamers here,
except
me.
You're going to benchmark that Conroe at all, or no?
Yeah, we have early benchmarks. The upshot is faster than a single 7900 GX card, GTX card, slower than two 7900 GTX cards, but faster than two 7900 GT cards in SLI. So it's for $650, which is what they seem to be selling for on the street. It's a really compelling high-performance SLI and a single-card solution, and it works in any motherboard. So if you have a motherboard that doesn't support SLI, you're in luck.
So it's an SLI, but basically on one board?
It's an SLI on one single PCI card.
I've been waiting for that. That's cool.
Yeah,
there we go. Okay, we'll talk to you next month.
Okay,
thanks, Will.
Guys.
Thanks, Will. So long for now. Will Smith, editor of Maximum PC Magazine, on newsstands now. Its subscription is like $12 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, what's the newsstand price over there,
Young blood
there.
No idea.
He's reading through it.
It's like, that's very cool.
It's like $4 or something.
Yeah, $4. It's a very affordable price. I can tell you this.
12 for 12.
Yeah, 12 for 12. It's a buck an issue. I get subscriptions to pretty much every computer magazine there is. And, you know, you can only read, in my industry, you know, I have to stay current. I can only read so much. What I found is this is a really good read. It's fun. They're very opinionated, almost always right, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can stay current on the latest and greatest stuff, hardware, by just reading this. You don't need to look at anything else, and that's why I like it, because I can just shelve all the other stuff, which usually runs several months behind Maximum PC. They'll like the big Vista issue, and you'll see it come out in October, and they've covered it 4 times already.
Right.
You know, in Maximum.
It's not
PC.
It's not watered down either, which is another thing. A lot of people tend to water things down, try and be a little safe to not offend advertisers. And
they don't do that.
Yeah.
Maximum PC, and their slogan is minimum BS. All right, we're a little over time. When we come back, the last segment of MajorGeeks.com's Technology Geeks. Want to make a call here, 421-9325-421-WFBL. We've got a lot more show to go. We've got announcements. We've got our website of the week. And we're going to figure out you're trying to buy a house or something, right?
So we
got to find the best real estate sites for the finer trailer parks all over Onondaga County. When we come back, you're listening to MajorGeeks.com, the Technology Geeks. They make Gus laugh. Right here on Talk Radio 1390 WFBL.
Call the Technology Geeks now at 00110100000.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's binary.
Call them at 421-9325.
Picture this. You take your computer in for service. The technician tells you that it will cost over $50 just to look at it. He takes your computer and passes it through a window that he calls the service department. Your computer has just entered the Twilight Zone.
To avoid the mysteries of computer service, take your computer to the Computer Outlet. The Computer Outlet charges no minimum to look at your computer. You only pay for the work they actually do. And don't worry about your computer disappearing into a black hole. The Computer Outlet service department is in the front of the store, right out in the open. The Computer Outlet also has a large selection of new and used computers, plus a wide variety of computer parts and accessories. The Computer Outlet has two convenient locations, 8274 Route 11 in Cicero, just a half mile south of Route 31, and 16 East Utica Street in Oswego. So to avoid this, take your computer to the Computer Outlet today.
11.
That's the average age of a child's first exposure to pornography on the web.
4.
That's how many clicks it takes for a child to disable conventional internet security.
1.
That's one time too many for any child to be exposed to internet predators. You can't argue with the numbers. That's why Content Watch developed the most advanced web filter, so you get the strongest line of defense against harmful attacks. For a free trial, go to contentwatch.com.
0. That's how many times I should see the bad side of the internet.
Does your business technology strategy consist of daily computer emergencies? Are you dealing with spyware, spam, viruses, and computer breakdowns rather than paying attention to your business? Call the professionals at Rent-A-Nerd at 451-5611. With over 25 years of experience, Rent-A-Nerd will devise a technology strategy that works for you. Stop wasting your money on endless repairs and make an investment in technology. Call Rent-A-Nerd today at 454-5611. Rent-A-Nerd. Funny name? Maybe. Professional results? Absolutely.
It's all about the busyness, baby.
It's all about the Pentiums. You turning that down? Good. 421-932-5421-WFBL is the number to call. You're listening to MajorGeeks.com's The Technology Geeks. Mike Rayo, Tim Tibbetts, Jim McMahon, and another guy with headphones on sitting in the corner who looks an awful lot like Tim, but with a better haircut.
It's an awful lot like
That's debatable. It's like a chia pet.
Chia. Okay. Gus is now giving up. He says, I got to get out of here. Hey, let's go to the phones right now. We've got... we don't have Will Smith on here. We've got... Oh, Elizabeth in Camillus has got a question. Apparently she wants to buy your house.
Yeah.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Hello. I have a question about setting up a new account or user account on my computer.
Okay.
I went through the whole process of setting up a new account. Went into Control Panel, clicked on User Accounts, created a new account, went through, add a new user to the computer, all of that. I did all of that. And I set up IncrediMail on the account.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to send mail out from that account to myself. And I received that account, received that email in my account on the computer.
Gotcha. Okay.
But whenever I sent email to that account, from my account, it would not receive.
So from the new account?
The old account?
Administrator of the computer, and I was just trying to set up an account for my husband on the computer.
Uh-huh.
Now, when I sent mail out from the new account for my husband to my account, on my account I received that.
Yep.
But when I sent mail to his account from my account, it would not receive it, and a window kept popping up, authorization error.
Okay.
Yeah. Did you set up an email account for your husband at your internet service provider?
Is there a step that I need to do that with?
He's
that's
asking you if you have
what
two,
I'm missing.
You're missing. The Windows user accounts have nothing to do with email accounts. The email accounts are handled by your ISP, whoever that might be. Who is it that you get your email from?
Roadrunner.
Yep. Okay. So Roadrunner's got a user account login page where you will have to go in and set up an email for your husband, like husband@twcny.rr.com. And then you can put that username into his new user account on Windows into the email program, and it can log into the email server and get it. Right now, there's no way for Roadrunner to know that you've created a user account someplace on a Windows machine to try and get email. You have to go to Roadrunner, set up an email address, and then input it into your system. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Well, if you're not sure,
just call them up. Yeah.
So how do I get into Roadrunner to set up a new account?
Do you know a 13-year-old kid in your neighborhood?
Because
they can do it.
No.
Yeah, every one of them can.
Call Roadrunner tech support. Tell them you'd like to set up a new email address.
Okay.
And they'll give you the page, and you should have, when they installed it, a pink piece of paper with your username and your password on it.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you use to log in. When you do, you'll see a few options there, managing your account, and look for create a new email address, and you type one in, and hopefully it's available.
Yeah, if you've never done this before, it can be a little bit tricky, Elizabeth, so I would recommend that, too, is just take your bill, call up their tech support, have them walk you through the process. Take some good notes, because you can also manage all of your email on this account. And one thing you're going to find out, too, is then when you're away from home,
uh-huh.
you can get your emails right through the web page, because yep. your email also stays up on this website.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to teach myself how to run a computer, so that may answer your
Tim and Jim are still working on that themselves.
Yeah, we got the same problem.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Well,
thanks, Elizabeth. So long for now.
421-9325-421-WFPL
is the number to call.
I don't know about you guys, but I always question using user accounts anyway, unless you have a very, very specific reason. The main reason being that viruses, spyware, etc.
I hate that.
Does
yeah.
not care that. It'll find its way from one account to the other. So now what happens is if you infect yourself and you see how long it takes and the difficulty in removing spyware or a virus, well, now you got to do it twice on both accounts and hope it isn't jumping back and forth between the accounts. Using user accounts is not something I recommend unless you've got a real specific reason to do it and or you know what you're doing, because if you happen to get infected, and that's a big if.
Well, the real reason you would do that it was meant for, mm-hmm. I think, initially, was you would have one administrator account which could install things and remove things, mm-hmm. and then you set up sub-user accounts that really can't install things
right.
and remove things. Hence, if a virus gets on there, it's going to do less damage. Mm-hmm. But people don't use it for that. They set up multiple
yep.
administrator
like
accounts.
They do like what she's doing. You basically
yeah.
set up something. This is for me. This is for my husband.
Yeah, I don't recommend. Yeah, and there's another reason, too. Your antivirus, anti-spyware often will only run under one login and not the other.
Right.
Or if it's set up on two, it conflicts and then it turns itself off completely,
exactly.
and then you're totally exposed.
Yeah.
That multiple user account for XP Home Edition is the worst thing they ever put in. I hope Vista fixes it, because this is horrible. It only works on pro versions, mm-hmm. the networking versions, and having these two tiers, to me, when they did this with XP, was a huge mistake. And, you know, prior to XP, you could network the same way, whether you had a home edition or professional edition of the operating system. I still think they should do that.
But just a heads up for us, you might want to consider just getting rid of that for now until, you know,
oh, yeah.
they can both still check their email. She's using IncrediMail. He can use Outlook,
yeah.
for example.
Okay, hey, let's see. Let's get some announcements out of the way. Be sure to listen to my Geek Break. I hear twice a day here on 1390 WFBL. It's heard during Laura Ingram's show around 11 o'clock hour, and then in evening drive time again during Sean Hannity's show around 5:30 or so. So you want to listen in the 5 o'clock hour while you're driving home and listen to my Geek Break. I got a couple of funny ones in there. I did one on ZomboCom. I actually chewed up a minute and a half talking about ZomboCom.
Isn't that amazing?
And it was very funny. In fact, that's the one I got the most feedback on. It's like, oh, that's terrific. Also, July 28th and 29th, I'm promoting this stuff way out in the future because I won't be performing here in Syracuse in June, so everybody's probably happy about that. Now you have to inflict
injunction.
Myself. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Restraining order.
I'll be traveling. I'll be in San Diego and some other parts of this great land of ours. But the end of July, July 28th and 29th, we are back by popular demand, all in this family, the Don's big birthday celebration. 622-9402 at Cucina di Amore, July 28th and 29th. It's a great show. And then every Tuesday in August, I will be in Sylvan Beach performing at Yesterday's Royal. And that show is Florence of Moravia, and I star in that show as well.
Male dance review?
Yeah. Yes. No, it's an old-time radio show thing. It's very, very funny.
Dance.
So long for now.
Everybody's doing it. Get your music for nothing and your hits for free. That ain't crooked. Everybody's doing it. Let me tell you, them kids ain't dumb. They don't give a rip about their favorite singer. They just keep on ripping off their song. We got to install MP3 players. Labels bitching, losing royalties. Got to download, then maybe later. We're gonna burn a dozen CDs.
Talk Radio 1390, WFBL, Syracuse. The more you listen, the more you know.